What's up, game geeks and tech junkies? Welcome to A Gaming Moment, a weekly podcast about everything gaming and streaming related, including the news, tech, and software behind it. Be sure to follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram so you can engage with us, as well as find out when we're streaming the podcast and get a first listen before it goes out across all of your favorite podcasting platforms. I'm Dagan07, and with me as always is Wild Twins Fan. Wildy, man, it's been a minute. Our schedules and life conflicts have, you know, kind of put us off track, but we're back on it. What are we going to go over this week?
Yeah, we're going to go back and touch on the hot tub meta and some of the streamers involved in that and some of the implications on that. And we're just going to talk about that a little bit and overall the community vibe on there. We also have banter topics of Battlefield 6, Battlefield 2042, whatever you want to call it. We'll go over a Streamlabs stream report for quarter one, just talking about streaming in the industry and where we're at there. And we'll also just touch on some of our favorite updates to our favorite game here, PUBG updates coming up, because they got a couple big changes coming up in the upcoming updates. So that'll be interesting to see.
Yeah, it's exciting times to be a PUBG player with some of the things that they're going to start doing with a new map and some new stuff. But we'll dive into that. But first, let's go ahead and jump into this hot tub meta. And Wildy, I've been talking about this for a number of weeks. Just you and I have been. You know, is this something that belongs on Twitch? And for me, it doesn't. Like, I know Twitch is trying to go more for just an open live streaming platform versus a gaming live streaming platform. But at the end of the day, that's what Twitch was founded on. That's what Justin TV was founded on, was game streaming. And now for me, it just feels like it's turning into live stream softcore porn, like a poor man's OnlyFans.
Yeah, I agree. Like right now, you know, I'm open for the meta and I'm open for that, but Twitch has such a strong, heavy hand in a past practice. They've really shown that sexualized content is not allowed. And, you know, you get a brief flash of nudity on a stream and you got a streamer with a week vacation. Really swift things. And now you got, you know, the body painting streams have pushed the envelope for a long time too. And now you're on this hot tub stream where you got people in quote unquote hot tubs in their living room. And let's be honest, most of them are little wading pools that they got an half an inch of water in. And then they're sitting on floaties and rocking around all sexually. I think it's sexual.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, just because someone's good looking or because someone's not good looking doesn't make it sexual to me. Like I'm not judging how the person looks. I'm just judging the actions, the body reactions, the physical language that they're projecting to the viewers. And I just don't, if Twitch wants to allow sexual content, that's one thing. But to me, it feels like they want a little bit of both. We'll take the money. We'll say it's not sexual. And, you know, and we'll look the other way. But, you know, this is not like so-and-so is walking down the street and some incredibly good-looking person shows up on stream, you know, and type of thing. This is an engineered, this is the outfit I'm going to wear. If you donate so much money, I'm going to change outfits. It's they're just threading the line of this softcore porn.
Yeah. You know? For me, like, you know, like you said, it's threading the line. Is it sexually suggestive? Twitch is going to turn a blind eye to it because let's face it, a lot of these streamers have well over 100 concurrent live viewers. What does that mean for Twitch? That means additional ad revenue that they're getting. You know, we've all heard the term sex sells, and unfortunately, you know, that's kind of Twitch's outlook on this, in my opinion. And, you know, you can't tell me that that content isn't sexually suggestive when you have a chick in, you know, one of these little Walmart blow up pools that has 2 inches of water in it. And, you know, she's leaned over the side with her arms under her tits and pushing her cleavage out as far as she can and saying, you know, hey, for $500, I'll write your screen name on my forehead. Tell me that's not prostitution. How is that not prostitution?
Well, it's not prostitution, but it's, you know,
Twitch is making money off of it. How's it not prostitution? She's selling herself.
But you know, I think, you know, it's just flirting along the lines, and to me, you can say what you want, but it's sexualized content, and they're supposed to be against that. You know, this is not Pornhub. This is supposed to be, you know, more or less a family friendly site. Obviously, we have the ability to mark streams non-safe for work and 18 up for mature viewers and stuff like that. And no one's arguing that you shouldn't be allowed to have some of that. But the whole essence of these streams, I really believe is to push the viewers to X-rated sites. You know, you have the top streamers. Amaranth, man, is on OnlyFans and she is killing it. Absolutely brushing killing it, dude. I can't brushing find it. The clip. I want to find the clip, and if I can find the clip, I'm gonna give the shout out on Insta and Twitter. But there's a clip where she talks allegedly and said that she has made more in the past month on OnlyFans than she's made in her entirety of Twitch. So you tell me she's not using Twitch as a tool to push people to sexual content. That's not really allowed in Twitch's rules. Like, she can't post her OnlyFans there, but you can post your Instagram, and you can get around the other rules the other ways on stuff. So
yeah, she's actually using a service. Give me 1 second and I'll be able to tell you what it's called, but basically it's called Linktree is what it's called. Excuse me. Amaranth is basically using a service called Linktree, which has all of her links that you could ever possibly want to use on that page, which, if I'm not mistaken, it includes her OnlyFans, her Instagram. Like, all of her Instagram pictures are sexually suggestive. She's using something called Fansly now. And, like, the top link on her link tree is her OnlyFans link. So, you know, yeah, she's technically not linking off to sexually suggestive content, but the first link that you're going to see when you click off onto this Open More Amaranth content is the OnlyFans link. And even the pictures in that particular image that she has on her profile, like, you can't tell me that's not sexually suggestive content. Like, she's sitting there with her legs. One of them is she's sitting there with her legs open in a onesie where her crotch is open. And the other one where she's wearing like a super tight bodysuit trying to accentuate her ass and her tits. You know, you can't tell me this stuff is not sexually suggestive content. And, you know, good for them. Good for Twitch for making, you know, their thousands of dollars a night when she's streaming, because at the time of this podcast, she's currently streaming to 15,000 viewers. So there's, you can't tell me like this is not some kind of softcore porn. And you have a how old is your son? He's 10 or 12, right?
13 yesterday.
13 yesterday. Happy birthday to him. How would your wife feel, or you feel, if you were coming in and you saw him watching Amaranth or one of these other quote unquote hot tub streamers in a thong bikini doing yoga right beside it with their ass and their hoocher all up in the air towards the camera, but it's perfectly acceptable because according to Twitch, According to Twitch, being found sexy by others is not against our rules, and Twitch will not take enforcement action against women or anyone on our service for their perceived attractiveness. And these women know, like, there's a general consensus on what people deem as what looks good. These people know that they look good to 80% of the audience. How would you feel if your son's in there watching, just staring at this girl, objectifying her?
I mean, you know, it's not, I'm not necessarily opposed to adult content or porn or any of that stuff. But my biggest take with this is the way Twitch handles everything. And quite frankly, I don't really care if they decide that they want to go like an adults only form of Twitch and stuff like that. But this whole, like, you know, we're getting away with it, and all these people cutting the lines and stuff like that, and the shades of gray, that's the inconsistencies I don't like. I don't like the inconsistency on Twitch's part to say no sexual content is not allowed, and then this stuff goes on there, and that's really my issue with this. I don't really care about the content. I don't watch hot tub streamers. I never will watch hot tub streamers, aside from if Dave, if you want to do a hot tub stream in the light of fun, then I'm on it, you know. That's a different thing.
Full disclosure to everybody, like, you know, a group of our friends, we are planning on going on a trip, and one of the things that we plan on doing on this trip is getting, you know, 20 dudes in a hot tub to have a 20 dude hot tub stream in Las Vegas, and, you know, just as a parody to this. And I think we're all going to wear like banana hammocks or man thongs or, you know, just kind of like the skimpiest attire that we can wear, you know, with all the body hair hanging out and just, you know, but, you know, according to Twitch, we're not breaking the rules.
And to me, it's not, I don't really care what the rules are, I guess is the way I look at it in life. Like, I just want consistency, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like, gosh, some streamer gets, and we've talked about this time and time again, some streamer gets clicks a link on stream, you know, looks harmless, and all of a sudden there's boobs on the stream or something like that, a naked ass on the stream, or God forbid a streamer accidentally bends over and you see underwear. That's bannable. It's like, that's bannable, and they ban people for it all the time, and you got people mm-hmm. flaunting it and sticking it in people's faces. And it's
thong,
like,
bikinis. Thong bikinis.
I don't know what the line is there, right? And I'm telling you, like, obviously the advertisers, like, obviously they're not listening to the people that you know, there's a large portion of Twitch that has no respect for this. And there always is a large portion of Twitch, because being an attractive person on Twitch and showing off your attractiveness has always been a highlight to get viewers and streams and subs and earn money. And I'm not saying there's a lot wrong with that, but can your content stand without trying to look beautiful?
Can you be a successful streamer without being sexually provocative or sexually suggestive?
Yeah.
And I think that's the question that needs to be answered, is can you be a successful streamer without that? I mean, we're looking, you know, there's so many streamers, like, you know, there was Belle Delphine at one point, which I think she's been permanently banned off of the platform. Amaranth's been banned at least 3 times that I know of. She's back up and running now, but she was recently banned for sexually suggestive content, where she was doing yoga and she was doing like an ASMR thing where she was licking the microphone, making it sound like she was licking an ear.
Yeah.
You know,
like, she's bent over, like, butt in the air, cheeks spread. It's like, come on. No one doesn't think this isn't sexual. We're not stupid, right? I honestly think they're just pushing the boundaries to push the boundaries because they're bored, or they want to try to corner the market or whatever. And as far as that goes, again, I'll say right now, I don't really care if Twitch approves something like that. I don't care if they have an X-rated channel, but they can't have their cake and eat it too, right?
Yeah.
And they're banning people for sexually suggestive materials, and there's people on there doing the same things, and that's allowed. And I have a hard time with the inconsistency.
And it's the top 1%. Yeah. It's the top 1% that are getting away with it.
Yeah. You know, and it's like, yeah, you can't tell me that the money's not talking and they're not trying to figure out ways to do, you know, to look the other way on this stuff. But it's like, man, they certainly don't look the other way when something's accidental on someone else's stream, you know. And it's, you know, content wise doesn't really bother me. I hate the inconsistencies. It's a joke to think this is a professional company, an Amazon owned company that, you know, essentially can't write, you know, a code of conduct for themselves. Could you imagine if you showed up to work day in a bikini? Well, you work from home, so you probably show up in a bikini to work. But I'm going to tell you right now, my dress code at work says I'm not going to be wearing a bikini or a banana hammock to work and sitting in a hot tub. And I think they can do better at better consistencies and whatever. And if I don't care if they want to do an X-rated version of Twitch or an adult version of Twitch, a soft core version of Twitch, that's fine. But there needs to be some verification of age and stuff like that. And quite frankly, the burden's going to be on them to prove some of that stuff. And
yeah,
the FCC, isn't it like 9 o'clock at night before they can kind of open up their content a little bit more and swear a little bit more and show a little more risky stuff or whatever it is, you know? It's so, I mean, how close are they to a regulatory agency coming over top of them and saying, you know, are you guys exploiting people? Are you exploiting youth? Are you sexualizing whatever? I mean, you can't do the stuff on, you can't do the stuff on TV that they're doing. Right. So who's going to be there arguing that, you know, down the road that, you know, they're not going to be under some heavy arm of some government somewhere to, you know, regulate this type of activity. They're certainly not self-regulating anyway. So,
yeah, absolutely. The people that I do applaud, though, are the advertisers. The advertisers are actually stepping up and they're saying, look, we don't want to be associated with this sexually suggestive content. So like Amaranth recently got, we'll call it demonetized, but like her ad revenue got taken away. Which her ads accounted off
her channel got taken away. Yep.
Yeah. Her ads off of her channel got taken away. So she's not making any ad revenue, which is basically means she's losing out. She revealed that she's losing out on about $500,000 a month, $500,000 per month.
No, it's $500,000 a year.
Oh,
$500,000 per year. It's about 50 grand a month.
Yeah. So, you know, she's losing out on $500,000 a year in ad revenue, which is crazy. And that's why I say, you know, I applaud the ads people, you know, and Twitch addressed this, and I'm going to kind of read this verbatim from their blog. The blog's titled "Let's Talk About Hot Tub Streams." It's a fairly lengthy blog. Highly suggest you check it out. But I'm just going to read this paragraph out of it talking about this. It says, "We also want to address questions from our creators about suspending advertising on their channels. On Twitch, brands get to decide where their ads appear. Today, they can target or avoid specific categories of content and flag channels that do not meet their standards. This means that Twitch, in rare cases, will suspend advertising on a channel at the advertiser's request. We absolutely do not permit brands to use protected characteristics as a filter for advertising, targeting, or blocking. We recently suspended advertising on some channels," we're talking about Amaranth on this one right here, "that were flagged by the majority of our advertiser base and failed to notify them," which means Twitch didn't even notify Amaranth that they were taking away her ad revenue, which is kind of messed up on their end. "Our creators rely on us, and we should have alerted affected streamers to this change before it happened. It was a mistake not to do so. We're working with individual creators to address their specific situations and restore ads where appropriate."
But let's also cover that Amaranth isn't stupid. No one's ever said that. We're not implying that. She even made that comment herself on her stream that this hot tub meta will not be good for the future of Twitch going forward. And it's bit her. I don't know. It's like, No one's stupid here, right? We know you're all trying to skirt the shades of gray here. It's just that part I don't care so much about. I just care about the inconsistencies. And I stress to the listeners, if you guys are interested in this topic at all or whatever, you know, check out the Twitch blogs. They're a good source of information of kind of where Twitch is going, if you want to call it that. Again, they're still wildly inconsistent and wildly unpredictable, and that's my major point of contention with Twitch.
So, guys, if you've been enjoying the podcast and would like to support us so we can keep creating more content, we've started a Patreon that you can visit at patreon.agamingmoment.com. Become a patron and gain exclusive benefits such as early access to episodes, monthly AMAs, and an additional monthly bonus episode. So sign up today.
Yeah, talking about it, I'm a little bit bummed out. Our good buddy Billy, producer / co-host, Billy here, is not with us today because he is getting destroyed at work. He's a busy man. He's an important man. Everyone wants a piece of Billy. And I'd love to hear his take on Battlefield 6 and Battlefield 2042, whatever we're going to officially call it. I think he would just be absolutely jacked. I'm sure he's going to be jacked with this title. It's kind of what everyone's been asking for. We've went down this World War One, World War Two kind of thing, and it's fun for a visit, but I think everyone's been waiting for a modern war game again. Warzone came out, modern times, and I think Warzone stepped up and killed it. And I think a lot of people are craving that modern shooter because there's nothing really new on the market. The first person shooter market, I think, is pretty stagnant right now.
Mm-hmm.
Like Call of Duty's title here, Cold War, is kind meh. It's kind of a dud. You know, it's meh. Older technology. it doesn't feel the smoothness that Modern Warfare is, and it doesn't have that. I think Battlefield 6 here is poised to just kill it. And right now we're seeing what record orders, pre-order. Don't pre-order, guys. Just don't do it. You're going to be stuck with the game. But I mean, Battlefield has had some horrific launches too. So if you do order it, just know that you're a test case. And you're going to be the one troubleshooting the game and living with the headaches for the first days with no recourse for getting your money back if you're one of those people. I mean, honestly, it turned a game in my life. But let's have realistic expectations. The game is already huge. They're crushing Battlefield 4 servers right now. Like, it doesn't help that they just gave the game out for free. What was that, on Twitch or Amazon Prime or somebody?
I think
just
it was,
gave it out for free.
I think it was Origin, if I'm not mistaken, it might have been. I don't know. You're right. There was a platform that gave it out for free, and you know, Battlefield 4 was such a game changer in the first person shooter genre. Like, Battlefield 4 introduced 64 player maps, like 32v32, just all out warfare, and like that one was such a revolutionary game for me. I didn't play Battlefield 3, but Battlefield 4 was such a revolutionary game for me in the fact that, you know, you could have these large maps, you could ride in tanks, you could fly jets. You know, that was like the birth of seeing these badass clips of people flying these jets. They're getting chased by another dude in a jet or in a helicopter. They eject out of the jet, turn around, quick scope the guy that's chasing them in a jet, and then somehow manage to fly back and get into the cockpit of either that person's jet or their own jet. And just the mechanics, the Frostbite engine that EA uses with Battlefield, so that the battlefield is actually destructible, buildings are destructible, makes the map very, very dynamic. It, like, I can't say enough about how excited I am about this, and the fact that there's been whispers. I haven't seen confirmations yet. But there's been whispers that they're going to make a Battle Royale version of it to compete with Warzone. And that I am excited about as well.
Yeah, I mean, they did a poor implementation with, what was that thing? Fire Zone? What was that called? Strike Zone? What was that? I don't know. Battlefield's first attempt at the Battle Royale was poor. No one played it. You couldn't loot. It was bad, unfortunately. But I think... this is kind of what everyone's looking for. Now they're going to up the servers up to 128 people.
Mm-hmm. 64v64.
Pulling a queue from PUBG. They're going to fill servers with bots. I mean, I guess we'll see. Keep the action up, I guess. But I don't know. It'll be interesting. I'm really psyched to see this coming. I'll be really psyched to see an actual Battle Royale mode because... I'm going to be honest, the TDM mode of just running around shooting people till they're dead and then you die and then you come back, or even the domination modes, or I forget what they call it for Battlefield. I haven't played a ton of Battlefield where you got to hold the points, the locations to score points for your team. It's fun, but it's not tactical. To me, it's just, I want some tactical. I want your life in the game to matter. You know, so it's like right now, if you shoot and kill a bunch of people, yeah, it kind of helps. But, you know, whereas when you have one life, you know, when you die, you're dead and you're out of the game.
It makes you play the game a little differently.
And you play way differently. So I'm hoping that we get some of that dynamic to the game with a Battle Royale, or again, I'm search and destroy player. So it's, you know, search, you got one life and you can win or lose the game with one life. One person can win or lose against any number of people. If you got unlimited lives and stuff, it gets a, I don't know. It's just boring and stagnant, grindy to me. And I hope there's more dynamic to the game than just shooting people and respawning. But
yeah, like with EA, my biggest fear with Battlefield 2042 is they're going to microtransaction the shit out of it. Like, hopefully they make it playable enough that it's enjoyable without me having to, you know, buy the newest weapon release, you know, at least COD. COD, sometimes you have to have the battle pass or whatever it's called.
No, to
get the weapon.
The battle pass. No, you don't need the battle pass for the weapon. Those will always be free unlockables, but you always got to grind them.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think COD system, if Battlefield 6 had a COD system where you had a season pass and you could grind to get cosmetics, or as long as, again, I'm always a fan of, if it's only cosmetics to the game, which they've proven people buy and people like and all that jazz, I'm okay with the DLC. Not going to partake in the DLC, but, you know,
yeah,
if you want to, that's on you.
Bottom line is, I think many of us in our gaming circle are extremely excited. Some of us might even move away from PUBG for a little bit to get into this game, and I think that's going to be exciting as well. A lot of people have been waiting for this game since Battlefield 4, Battlefield 5, and Battlefield 1. I think that's what it was called. Battlefield, the World War 1, and then the World War 2 one. Those were great. But you know, at the same time, you know, we kind of had the same thing going on with COD. So it was just there's been like this 3-year lull of just bad first person shooter games.
Yeah. I mean, the market is really screaming for a new first-person shooter game.
And I hope they succeed with it, because we need something different. Like, I'm tired of... I haven't even touched COD. And I used to love COD. Like, Modern Warfare was a very, very good game, in my opinion. And I have a deep relationship with the characters in that game, with, you know, the whole Soak McTarvish and Captain Price, and, you know, that's my teenage years, my growing up, when I was really, really interested in first-person shooters and, you know, going through, you know, that Modern Warfare 1, Modern Warfare 2, Modern Warfare 3, and then this previous Modern Warfare, just being immersed with all those characters, that's what really sold the whole Call of Duty stuff to me. But I'm really looking forward to the action of this game, the graphics capabilities of this game, the destructive nature of the environment with being able to put, you know, tank rounds and missiles and stuff through walls and killing the guy that you know is hiding behind that wall. I'm really excited about that.
Yeah, you know, a little bit off topic here, but man, I did a little soul searching the other day. Downloaded Black Ops 2 PC. Loaded that up, and I wanted to feel the nostalgia. And I loaded it up. The only thing I could get in is TDM for Core, which is not my thing, but I just wanted to feel the game again. And I'm going to recant my previous statements. My favorite COD of all time is Modern Warfare. It's knocked everything off. It should. The newer game should be better. I will always have a soft spot in my heart. Black Ops 2 will be my second favorite. There's a smoothness. There's a polish. There's a balance. The continual balance and adjustment of Warzone, and well, they call it Warzone or Modern Warfare, keeps that game relevant. It keeps it from everyone using the same gun, the same meta. Granted, it's always a struggle to find what the new meta is or whatever, you know. It at least does kind of mix it up, and Black Ops isn't it, but Modern Warfare and going forward with the next COD supposed to be on the same engine, I believe. At least Warfare is going to stay on the same engine. It's a good, but I think the community at large is ready for a new first-person shooter game. So yeah, I think Battlefield will do well. I hope they take all their opportunities to make it great.
Yeah, absolutely. So something that we like to touch on here, you know, a lot of us are streamers. A lot of our community is streamers. And we like to keep an eye on what platforms are growing. So we always default to the Streamlabs and Stream Hatchet live streaming industry report. And the 2021 quarter one report is out. And we're starting to see a little bit of movement in the industry. Twitch now only represents 72. I say only, still the vast majority, only represents 72.3% of the market share in terms of viewership, which is actually a 6.5-point increase from the previous quarter. Facebook Gaming has grown quickly, I guess, you know, since the Mixer shutdown and everybody from Mixer being pushed over to Facebook Gaming. And then YouTube Gaming represents 23.3% of the market share, and that's actually down 15.6%. So surprisingly, YouTube Gaming is actually falling, and maybe this should be something that YouTube looks at, you know, improving their user experience and their UI between the streamer and the viewers. And I think this could be good.
You know, it's one of the things I've noticed now that, as we talked about, I dropped my affiliate on Twitch, and so far it's only been positive for me. Now that I multi-stream, so every stream now I'm multi-streaming to Twitch, Facebook, and YouTube. And it's crazy to me that the engagement and the outreach I get on Facebook, like Facebook does push me out to people, and I do get... you know, it's not a lot, but I'm averaging 2 likes and 2 follows a stream on Facebook. I'm not averaging that on Twitch right now. And then part of that is just the game I'm playing. You know, I'm not, you know, if I'm not streaming PUBG, then, you know, I tend to get more follows and a little bit more engagement because PUBG is now a 3-year-old game. You don't have a lot of people perusing things. After 3 years, people kind of know who they want to watch, but mm-hmm. I'm really shocked that Facebook gets me a lot of exposure, which was the main reason that I dropped my affiliate so I could have that triple effect of exposure. But I get nothing on YouTube Gaming. Like,
Yeah, and I think the discoverability factor, and people don't go to YouTube to watch live streams for gaming. Nope. They go to watch you know, highlight reels, clips. Yep. You know, and I think that's YouTube's fundamental flaw when it comes to YouTube gaming. Now, Facebook is good because, like, you know, your stream gets presented to people with common interests. So if they like the games page that you just so happen to play, like Call of Duty, if people like, you know, Activision or Raven Software or any of the Call of Duty pages that are out there, there's a chance that your stream could show up in their timeline while they're scrolling down and looking, and then, you know, you have that couple of seconds to capture their intrigue. And you know, I think that's super beneficial. Twitch and YouTube do not have any kind of discoverability. And I think that's where Facebook has the leg up on this. And I know we've talked about this ad nauseum, but I think Facebook could be the next big thing.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's hard to say, but it's pretty cool when I get a like and a follow, you know, I mean, to put this delicately, from someone I can't pronounce their name, right?
That yeah,
they're in a different part of the world. They maybe don't even speak English fluently or whatever. And it's like, to me, that's super cool because that is reaching so far out of where I even like hope to. You know, I mean, I wouldn't even have dreamed to have captured, you know, follows and likes and exposure from the entire world. You know, most of the time I'm like North America. It's pretty cool to see that I'm, you know, engaging the world on Facebook that I haven't really seen on Twitch, and I haven't seen anything on YouTube. So kind of neat that way.
Yeah. I mean, we're seeing, if you, we'll have a link to this industry report in the podcast description. But if you actually go down to like the Facebook gaming section of the report, total hours watched grew 15% quarter over quarter from 901 million hours versus 1.06 billion hours, and viewership increased by 156 million hours. Viewership topped 1 billion hours for the first time ever, and compared to this time last year, viewership increased by 90.8%. So it pretty much doubled year over year from 553 million hours to the 1.06 billion hours. And that's saying something. Again, is that the mixer effect? Not quite sure, but the evidence is showing that more people are consuming are streaming and consuming the live streams on Facebook. And, you know, maybe you should consider if you're a Twitch affiliate or you're a Twitch streamer, run an experiment. Let your viewers know that, hey, for the next, say, 2 weeks, I'm going to stream on Facebook, and I'm going to see what kind of engagement I can get on Facebook. And I just like Wildy's case study, I guarantee you, you're probably going to get way more engagement on Facebook than you will on Twitch. And you're going to grow faster on Facebook than you will on Twitch, because there's actually a discoverability factor on Facebook. Right.
And for me, it's about building a brand, building a community. It doesn't necessarily have to be on Twitch for me. I hope that, you know, I'm a multi-consumer. I will watch on Twitch. I'll watch on Facebook. I'll watch on YouTube. It doesn't really matter. I like my content creators, and I don't necessarily care where it's provided to me from. So, you know, I follow YouTubers on Facebook. I think that discoverability piece is pretty nice to just reach out there and meet some new people. So, and right now, Facebook's the only one that's got it.
Yeah, try it out, guys. Try it out.
Yep, for sure.
So, Wildy, our favorite game in the whole wide world as of right now, until Battlefield 2042 comes out, is launching some pretty major updates with a new map drop, new weapons, maybe new vehicles, completely new game mechanics that in my opinion, are a little COD-ish or Apex-ish.
Yeah.
You know, it is what it is. They're trying to keep up with the times. But I'm regardless of all that, I'm still super excited that we're getting Tago, which is a new 8x8 map that's basically Sandhawk, an 8x8 Sandhawk.
Yeah, I think the community is pretty stoked on this too. Overall, like I said, when we did that poll a little bit while back, my vote was for an 8x8 map. That's what I wanted to see, and we talked about that. And I was still a little bit shocked to see that that was like the number two answer on that poll was an 8x8 map. And they listened, they did it. There's some rumors about why they've done it and stuff like that. And, you know, we don't know all details. PUBG 2 might be in jeopardy and stuff like that. But ultimately, I think a lot of the core players of PUBG right now are a little upset with some of the ideas behind this stuff. But we've both played a bunch of PUBG, played a bunch of Warzone. Not as much Warzone, but like when I went to Warzone, I was gonna be real worried about this, the gulag and the buyback system and stuff like that. And it's not really a problem. Like, teams do get taken out, numbers do get whittled down, but you're never out of the game until your team's either dead or out of money or there's no buy stations left in the zone. And it keeps that action at such an intense level on COD. And you're not afraid to take the fights, right? Because if you take the fight, right, and you may be like, yeah, you're the better player. I'm gonna push this guy. I'm going to take this fight. You're not afraid to take those fights because, you know, if something does happen and you do get knocked out, you go, my team's better than that. We're still winning the fight. We're still winning the battle, right? You know, maybe you take two of us down, but, you know, my other two teammates win it, you know, and then they buy us back and we're back in the game. And you know what? Like, that keeps the game engaging. That keeps the people from hiding in houses and laying in bushes and weeds, you know. So a lot of people complain that PUBG's stagnant or boring or you know, the middle of the game, you know, doesn't have any action. And it's like, man, you go into Warzone and you have to try to not be in action. You would have to try to be, you know, on the edge of the zone or hiding somewhere to be out of the action. And in PUBG, you can be in the middle of the zone and not be in action. I think
it depends on the mode.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the competitive play is definitely a higher level, more aggressive. And again, they do some stuff in competitive that makes it a little less. They encourage fighting because now you can find meds. Now you can find vests. You can find helmets and all the essentials that you need. You can find the guns you want.
Yeah, that's still my biggest complaint right now is the loot in regular matches versus the loot in ranked matches. Like, it should not take me six buildings to find level 2 armor and a AR. It just shouldn't.
Ultimately, it gets to be a loot simulator, not a FPS shooter and stuff like that. So I think if you're negative on the idea, I want you to hold your reservations and just play it. If you're positive on an idea, give it a shot. If you haven't played the game because you know, it's too slow for you. The mechanics are too clunky for you. This is a good time to give it another shot and see if they're working in the right direction. Because ultimately, that's one thing COD does do very, very well is they're not afraid to change their game. They're not afraid to change the meta. They're not afraid to add content. They're not afraid to take content out to do what they need to do. And PUBG is so stuck to this core value of this is the game we built, you know, 4 or 5 whatever years ago, and we're not going to change from there. It's like, you know what? Maybe the game could change a little bit and be the better. So, you know,
and I think they are
hot topic, you know. But now, Dave, you were saying, what did you hear on self revives?
So, There is a self-revive mechanic that has been around since 2018, since the inception of the game. They've been working on it for at least 3 years. And this information comes from Player IGN. He's a known PUBG data miner. Like, you know, he's in their systems pretty hardcore. You know, he's already stated that there's going to be a new landing mechanic with this next patch. There's a gulag, which most people, just reading through the comments, most people are hoping that this gulag is only for early game deaths, not pushing it as far as what COD pushes it, which I think is like until the last 25 people or something like that. Granted, COD has what? It's like 100 and... Is it 150 people in the map yes. at launch?
Yep, 100.
On the big map. So hopefully it doesn't go that far. There's new weapons and vehicles. There's a new plane vehicle that's not a glider, and a new event will launch on
the 7th,
I believe. July 7th? Yeah, July 7th is when it's supposed to launch
for PC and the 15th for console.
Correct. Sorry, I had a brain fart there for a second. So I'm stoked. There's probably going to be a lot of backlash with this from the PUBG purists. We game with a lot of PUBG purists. But I think this is where the game needs to go. Cause a lot of people don't like getting into a game, especially like normal matches where the loot is such crap. Getting into a game, landing on a
hot drop.
Yeah. Doing a hot drop. Landing on a building, you have a guy next door to you. The building that you're in, you're like, oh, there's got to be a gun in here because it's a fairly large two-story building. Nope. One dome, one vest, and a 9mm pistol with 15 rounds on it, while the guy next to you who lands in a one-story, one-room building finds, all level 2 gear, a shotgun, and an AR, which is completely unbalanced. And, you get smoked in the first 30 seconds of the game. Now you're sitting there waiting for your teammates to finish and fight out the rest of the game, which could take upwards to 45 minutes, which we've all kind of been through. So I think the gulag thing is going to be a decent idea. It's going to take, like I said, PUBG purists a little while to, move past it and accept it. The self revive mechanic, not sure if it's going to be only for solos or if they're going to have it in duos and squads as well, but there is that they are going to be launching a self revive mechanic with this new patch that's coming out on July 7th as well.
Yeah, I mean, overall, like, I mean, the gulag thing, I wasn't quite sure of for COD, you know, when that first came out, I was like, well, we're going to see how this is and stuff like that. I honestly think it's great because the whole premise of PUBG again is like, right, the best players win, right? You're the best player, you win the game kind of type deal. And sometimes you just get unlucky. So mm-hmm. that gulag gives you that second chance to be like, no, that was just unlucky. I am the most skilled player here. So I like it. I think it does fit within the core idea of the game because it's not really an unfair advantage. If you got unlucky or whatever, you know, you have a second chance to say it. No, this is a skill, and this is a skill I bring to this game, and to win, get back into the game and win the match or whatever. You know, I hope people look forward to it with positivity, and we'll see where it goes. And I hope if they find a mechanic that doesn't work, that they're brave enough to say, yeah, this didn't work for us, and they take it out. So that's the scary part. Change something. Are they going to be able to be honest enough to say, this didn't work, people aren't liking this, this is hurting our game, and to take it out?
Yeah, absolutely. Hey guys, if you haven't already, be sure to follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram so you can engage with us, as well as find out when we're streaming the podcast and get a first listen before it goes out across all of your favorite podcasting platforms. So do it.
Well, now that you mentioned it, there's no better reason to hit us up on the social medias than the top questions of the week. This one day, I'm going back to some of our foodie roots because it's summer. busted the grill out. I might have a pellet grill in my near future.
I got one.
Got to experience a Blackstone this last weekend. Pretty amazing. Everything I hoped it would be, and then some. But we're going to touch on barbecue day. You know, where do you fit in the barbecue world? What are you looking for when you go barbecue? What do you think of? Are you thinking of pork? You thinking of steak? You thinking of chicken? You thinking of brisket, beef?
Wild, being a Texan, living in Texas, Texas to the bone. Steak is never considered barbecue. Let me put that out there. Let me correct you there. man, when I'm looking at barbecue, I actually take influence from the different regions. Like if I'm doing ribs, if I'm doing pork ribs, I'm going to go Memphis style with the pork ribs. I like the sweet and sticky sauce on my pork ribs. If we're going like pulled pork, like pork butt or what's called the Boston butt or pork shoulder, it's all the same cut of meat. I'm going Carolina style. I'm going with a nice tangy yellow mustard barbecue sauce, with the pulled pork being smoked for 8 to 10 hours just perfectly, using some maple and oak. If we're going brisket, Texas style brisket is hands down, in my opinion, the best way to do it. Salt, pepper, garlic powder, throw it on the smoker for 14 to 16 hours, depending on the weight. Unfortunately, we did this last week. My uncle did it last week, and unfortunately, he messed up and thought that he would be able to get the meat up to 170 and then wrap it. Well, no, it stalled at like 150 and sat at 150 for like 6 hours and ended up drying out the meat a little bit. So for those of you that like smoking brisket, when that meat stalls, it's generally between 150 and 170 degrees. That's when you wrap it, because the stall is basically where the juice from the meat is evaporating and cooling the meat just as fast as you're heating the meat. So wrapping it allows you to keep that juice and all that steam in, and allows the cooking process to continue and helps it not take as long and helps keep the meat just as juicy. But with that sauce, I'm going to go with, a slightly sweet and spicy sauce, not too thick, a little bit on the runny side. There's a barbecue place here in Texas south of Austin called the Salt Lick, and they have one of the best spicy barbecue sauces that I've ever had, and it's German influenced, and it's really, really good. So I like a little bit of spice with my brisket. I'm not a huge sausage fan. I love smoked chicken. Smoked chicken is pretty versatile when it comes to sauces. I like a sweet and spicy sauce is just fine. I also like Memphis style. Kansas City style ribs is something that I do enjoy. I still prefer Memphis over it, but Kansas City has that sweet and spicy kind of feel to it as well. So I'm pretty diverse when it comes to my barbecue.
Yeah. So for me, like, first off, I live in Minnesota, so we don't have a region of barbecue. But I've found what I really like, and I actually end up kind of being like a Carolina boy here. Like when I go pull pork, it's got to have Carolina. But I go with the other region of Carolina, where we got the vinegar ketchup. It's basically vinegar, ketchup, hot pepper, black pepper, kind of in the sauce, and mm-hmm. a little bit of sugar in there. And man, that vinegar bite with the fatty meat really, really does it for me. It cuts through that, and I like that bite for me. That vinegar tang from that Carolina sauce is amazing. And overall, like chicken, when it comes to chicken and barbecue, I'll just take a hard pass. Most of it is fine, but I've never met a chicken on a barbecue that I was like, I need to go back for that.
smoked chicken. You need to go with smoked chicken. Smoked chicken will be the juiciest. If it's cooked right and done right, it's the most flavorful, juiciest chicken, and sometimes it doesn't even need sauce.
It just doesn't do it for me. I've had a fair bit of chicken, and I'm going to skip it all, and I'm going to go for ribs and brisket. And I like St. Louis style ribs. I don't really like baby back ribs. I just like the meatier St. Louis style ribs. And brisket to me is the meat of barbecue gods. To get good brisket around here is so hard. And I love to live in Texas. The Salt Lick is actually on my bucket list of places to go to. Couple places, you know, I want to go to down in Texas there, and Franklin's Barbecue, like, oh dude. So I get stuck on the barbecue channels on YouTube, and man, I just want to make a wicked brisket. And the other thing that haunts my dreams every day, and I don't know why, but beef rib, like a short rib, like the big brontosaurus bone. Man, that's the thing of dreams right there. And I'm as far as sauce goes and stuff, like most of the time I don't really want it sauced. I want like a little bit of sauce to dip it in. Like, but I want my meat not cooked in sauce. I don't want my ribs sauced. I absolutely can't do Kansas City style. My mother used to make a Kansas City style barbecue sauce, and I just can't do it anymore. I don't like that sweet, just can't do it. I need the tang to it. So for me, I'm on the journey to get that perfect brisket going on my smoker. You know, see how that goes.
Yeah. I smoke a lot of meats. I did ribs last weekend. I did brisket a few weeks before that. My next thing is actually to try smoking a steak. You know, you smoke it, and then you do a quick sear when it's done to trap in that smoke flavor. And that's kind of like my next experiment that I'm gonna do. I did a smoked pork loin, which was really, really good. Which again, any kind of pork is good with a nice tangy sauce. I like the mustard-based tangy sauce, the Carolina-style mustard-based tangy sauce. Yep. On any pork. So good. So good.
Yeah, for me, I actually did, I forgot about this, I did some pork belly burnt ends the other day. Oh my gosh. And I didn't even have my smoker. I had a smoke tube set up, and I did them on a gas grill. It's kind of sacrilege, but I'll tell you what. Even as many errors I made there, they were still perfect. They were tender. They were unctuous. Like, my kids were like, eh. And I'm like, you know what? Why don't you just wait till it's done and then taste it? And then we can make some judgment. And then I had some issues with my grill. And I did about half the cook on the grill. I had to finish it in the oven, which is kind of fine, right? Because
yeah, got the grill. The grill gets the flavor on the outside.
Right, I got what I wanted. I just needed to cook it long enough to get it tender enough and rendered enough. And my kids and my wife and everyone was a little bit crabby that I made the whole house absolutely reek like barbecue. And then my daughter took a bite and she says, "Oh, putting up with the smell was worth it." So that was pretty good. Pork belly burnt ends, guys. If you want to blow somebody's mind, man, that's like bacon candy.
Yeah, I'm definitely gonna try that. Probably in the next couple weeks, yep. Go to Costco and grab a pork belly.
Yep, that's exactly what I did.
So that's going to be it for this episode, guys. Next week, we're going to dive into the Windows 11 release. We, at the time of this podcast, it has been released, but we just want to give it some time to marinate within the community and maybe get a couple of reviews of it and see what kind of bugs and people are finding. We don't recommend upgrading just yet because it is a brand new operating system, and we all know Windows updates causes a lot of issues with different programs and stuff. So highly don't recommend bumping up to Windows 11 just yet. But we'll fill you guys in next week on some of the findings that we found. So thank you guys for listening in. Consider our Patreon to support the podcast. And also by going to merch.agamingmoment.com and picking up some of that sweet, sweet swag. And subscribe to us on your favorite podcasting platform. Be sure to leave us a 5-star review of the podcast. Also, check back weekly for the next episode. And until next time, guys, keep grinding.